Good evening. Tonight, as we continue to study the minor prophets, we come to the prophet Jonah. And to give you just a little bit of background information about Jonah, I'd like to read from 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 through 25. Here we read that in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast or the borders of Israel from the entering of Hamath to the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. And so here we learn that Jonah was a prophet in Israel during the time of Jeroboam II, which would place his dates around 750 years before Christ. Jeroboam II did evil in the sight of the Lord, but during the time of his reign, it was a very prosperous time for the nation of Israel, but as the prophets warned, judgment was coming upon them for turning aside from the Lord, for living for earthly wealth and pleasure, and for continuing in the sins of the first Jeroboam, who set up golden calves to worship instead of worshiping the true God. And so this is, as best we can tell, the prophet Jonah that we begin to study tonight. And I invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Jonah, and I'd like to read the first two chapters of this tonight. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man to his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, What mean you, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they to him, Tell us, we pray you, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is your occupation, and from where come you? What is your country, and of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said to him, Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they to him, What shall we do to you, that the sea may be calm to us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said to them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm to you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried to the Lord, and said, We beseech you, O Lord, we beseech you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of my affliction to the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and you heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet have you brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into you, into your holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray your guidance, your blessing upon us tonight as we consider the teaching of your word, and especially as we consider your call to Jonah and his response to your call. We ask that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding, but would also show us how we sometimes are like Jonah and go the other way when you would have us do something for you. We pray your guidance and your blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. And so, as we've seen, Jonah was a prophet in Israel. And understanding that Nineveh, the place where he was commanded in Assyria, later was the very country which came and destroyed Israel and carried away the people captive, we can perhaps understand the enmity or the reason here why Jonah would not want to go to Nineveh. But we read, Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. These words remind me of the angel's message, or the Lord's message that he shared with Abram about Sodom and Gomorrah, about their wickedness coming up before the Lord. Nineveh was, as I said, the capital city of Assyria. It lies north and east of Israel, and the city dates back probably to Nimrod in Genesis chapter 11, who was a mighty hunter before the Lord, or a mighty warrior before the Lord, and it was full of pagan idolatry in which they worshipped, from what I've read and heard, a fish god, a god which, you know, had the form of a man but a fish's head, and they worshiped this god and served this god. But as we see here from the words of the Lord to Jonah, the people had turned themselves over to all sorts of wickedness, and God's judgment was about to come upon them. We see in this that God cares not just for Israel, not just for, you know, his special chosen people, but he cares for all people. And he did not desire to judge and destroy Nineveh if the people would repent and turn from their sins. And the same is true today. You know, the Lord does not desire that any perish, but that all would repent and return to him, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 9. And also it's in Ezekiel that the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he would rather have the wicked turn from his way and live. And so here, God did not desire to judge and destroy Nineveh, but he desired that they would repent and look to him for mercy and forgiveness. And so after God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me, we read, But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And From the best, as best we can tell, Tarshish or Tarshish is probably in Spain or in the direction of Spain. And so God commanded Jonah to go to the east, and he turned and he took a ship to go west. He was not going to stick around in Israel, but he was going to go as far away from Nineveh as he could go. And how often are we not like that? You know, where God tells us, urges us, places upon our hearts something that we should do, people we should talk to and minister to, and we find every excuse to do something else, even going, you know, in a different direction. But here, Jonah flees from the presence of the Lord. You know, he buys a passage on a ship going to Tarshish, which is how they traveled in those days, that, you know, the boats or the ships would carry freight. And if you wanted to go someplace, you paid a fare, and then you could go along with that ship to wherever it went. But we read that he went down to Joppa, which is to go down on the seacoast on the northern part of Israel, and that's where he boarded the ship. But it says in verse 4 that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. In other words, it was about to be shattered or broken in pieces by the waves in the sea. And then the mariners were afraid. So those who were, you know, the crew on the ship were afraid. They knew they were in trouble. And they cried every man to his God. So they all prayed to their gods for help and deliverance. And they cast forth or threw overboard the wares, you know, their freight, what they were hauling on the ship, in order to lighten it so that it would not sink and be swamped. But Jonah, we read, was gone down into the sides of the ship. So he's down inside the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What mean you, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us, and we perish not." And so the shipmaster, probably the captain of the ship, you know, tells him, "It's not the time to be sleeping. You better get up and be praying to your God that God would think on us and deliver us so that we do not die." And then it says that they said, and this is verse 7, they said, "Everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." And so all of those on the ship decided that, you know, we're going to cast lots to find out whose fault this is, that this terrible storm had come and they're about to be broken up and to drown in the sea. It says, so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And so it appears that the Lord guided the lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. It was revealed that Jonah was the cause of this storm, as far as they knew. So then said they to him, verse 8, "Tell us, we pray you, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is your occupation? From where come you? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And so they have all these questions of Jonah, trying to figure out why it is that God had sent this storm. And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land." And it's important to note that Lord here is all in capital letters, indicating that it's the Hebrew name of God, Jehovah, or some pronounce it Yahweh. We're not 100% positive how it should be pronounced. And he is the God, the Elohim of heaven. In other words, he's the God of heaven. But he also, he is the one who made the sea and the dry land. And so he is the creator, you know, the creator of heavens and earth. It says, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid." And so here Jonah says that he worships and serves Jehovah God, the creator of heaven and earth. And here they are in the sea and the dry land. So here they are in the sea and they're suffering the storm. And Jonah says that he worships the God who created the seas. And so as we read, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said to him, Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And so he had apparently told them he wanted to get as far away from the Lord, from Jehovah God, as he could. And they knew this. And so then said they to him, What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm to us? For the sea wrought, means that it was stirred up, it was working, it was churning, and was tempestuous. In other words, the storm was driving the sea so that the waves were crashing into the boat and breaking over the boat. And Jonah tells them in verse 12, he said to them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm to you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And so he tells them to pick him up and to throw him overboard, and then the sea will become calm. The men didn't want to do this, even though Jonah had said this would quiet this violent storm. It says, Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. And so, you know, the storm and the churning waters were not letting them row to shore. Instead, it was driving them further out to sea. It says, Wherefore they cried to the Lord, again to Jehovah, and said, We beseech you, O Lord, we beseech you. And notice they call the Lord by the name Master or Lord, where the first one, they cried to Jehovah, but they call him Lord. We beseech you, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, you, O Jehovah, have done as it pleased you. And so they prayed that God would not hold it against them for throwing Jonah overboard into the sea. Then in verse 15, So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. We think of Jesus saying on the Sea of Galilee, you know, peace be still, and the sea became calm. Well, here God stirred up this storm because Jonah was fleeing from his presence, and when they throw Jonah overboard, the storm ceases and the sea becomes calm. It says, Then the men feared the Lord. In other words, they had respect for the Lord, for Jehovah God, exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, again to Jehovah, and made vows. And so they made promises to serve the true God. And so one good thing that may have come out of Jonah's fleeing is his sin made it possible to bear witness to who the true God was. So we don't know whether any of them continued in the faith, but they may have certainly continued to seek the true God, to seek Jehovah God rather than their own false gods. And so they offered a sacrifice to the Lord. They made vows. So it was probably some sort of a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and they vowed probably to serve the Lord. And then at verse 17, we read that the Lord, again Jehovah, had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And a lot of people debate as to, you know, what this fish could be. And I've heard all sorts of theories. Some say it was a whale. And then you have those who said, well, you know, the Bible says here it's a great fish in the New Testament. In the King James, at least, or in the Septuagint, which comes from the Greek Septuagint, they use the term whale. But we need to remember, when we go back to the book of Genesis and God's creation of the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them, if you go to the fifth day, which is at verse 20, it starts the fifth day. God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the broader waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And so when it speaks of you know, we try to differentiate between fish and whales because whales are mammals, but we need to remember that when we look at the creation account, it talks about God creating the sea animals and the birds on the fourth day. It does not distinguish between the different types of sea animals. And the Hebrew word used here in the book of Jonah can be translated as a great fish, but it can even be translated as, you know, a sea monster of some sort, or a huge fish. And so we don't know exactly whether it was a whale or just a large fish, or whether it was a God actually created a special fish for this very purpose, because normally you wouldn't think that someone could survive inside the belly of a fish or a whale for 3 days and three nights, but God made this possible in the case of Jonah. Jesus mentions Jonah, and we see that, you know, so many people today like to challenge the account of Jonah. You know, how could he be in a fish's belly for 3 days and three nights? But it's quite obvious that Jesus himself held to the literal accuracy of this account, because if you look in Matthew chapter 12, at verse 40, Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So he uses the example of Jonah to illustrate how he would be buried and be in the tomb, and then rise again. And of course, this section goes on to say that the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And so Jesus also uses what's in the second part of this book in chapters 3 and 4, Jonah's preaching, to point out that the people of Nineveh repented, and so they will rise in judgment against the Jews who heard Jesus preaching and teaching and saw his miracles, but did not repent and look to him for mercy and forgiveness. In the book of Jonah in chapter 2, we have Jonah's prayer. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction to the Lord," again it's Jehovah, "and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and you heard my voice." And the Hebrew word here could be translated as hell. It can also be translated as grave. That's why some translations often, instead of actually translating the word, they just transliterated and put Sheol. But here, Jonah describes him being thrown overboard and sinking into the depths and being inside the belly of this fish as, you know, crying out of the belly of the grave or out of the belly of hell. And yet God still heard his voice. If you think of Psalm 139, in Psalm 139, let me turn there and read it to you. In Psalm 139, it's a psalm of David. He says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off." And it continues on, but then he says at verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." And so even in the depths, even in the belly of this fish, the Lord was there and could hear the prayer of Jonah. And Jonah continues, "For you had cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All your billows and your waves passed over me." And so, you know, you see the picture of him sinking into the depths of the sea, and the stormy waters up above are passing over his head. And he says, "Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. And so Jonah views his death, or his being cast into the sea, as a death and being cast out of the sight of the Lord, that the Lord will not see him. But yet he says, I will look again toward your holy temple. So he speaks about again looking to the Lord and to his holy temple and to be in the presence of the Lord. He says, the waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. And so it truly speaks of him sinking down into the kelp and the seaweed below, and all this being wrapped around his head, and perhaps this is what's in the fish's belly that's wrapped around him. He says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. And so he speaks about going down to the bottoms of the mountains. You know, the mountains might be sticking up above the water, but the base of the mountains is down in the bottom of the sea. And he goes down to the bottoms of the mountains, and, you know, the earth with her bars was wrapped around him or about him forever. And he said, but you have brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So instead of Jonah dying, the Lord caused a fish to swallow him and spared his life and prevented him from corruption, from dying and decaying. And he says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into you, into your holy temple. And so he speaks about when his soul fainted within him. In other words, all hope was given up. He thought he was surely going to die. Then he lifted up his prayer to the Lord, and he speaks of the prayer coming into your holy temple. And that's because the temple in Jerusalem was a figure of what Moses saw on the mountain. And so it speaks of his prayers coming into the very presence of the Lord, not necessarily in Jerusalem, but into the very temple of God in heaven, into his very presence. His prayer is going to come. And we have that assurance as well. When we trust in our Lord Jesus, we have the assurance that our prayers will rise up and be heard for Jesus' sake, that God will hear our prayers from his holy temple. He says in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So those who observe lying vanities, in other words, things which are deceit, vanities, or emptiness, those who are serving other gods or other religions and not the truth, are, as he says here, observing lying vanities. It does them no good, no matter how faithful and devoted they are to their beliefs and to their religious practices. It's all vanity. It's all emptiness if it's not worshiping and serving the true God in accord with his word. And he says those who do that, those who serve other gods, those who do not follow the truth, forsake their own mercy. And that's because there is only mercy in the Lord God, who created us and then sent his Son to suffer and to die and pay the price for our sins and redeem us. And so those who serve other gods and those who, you know, serve God not according to the scriptures or don't believe in the God of the Bible but make up their own ideas about God actually forsake their own mercy, because they are not looking to Jesus Christ for God's mercy and forgiveness. He says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And so he promises to sacrifice to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, and to pay what he has vowed. And Jonah may have made some vows to the Lord during this episode, during this time in the fish's belly, that if God gets him out of this, that he's going to do certain things, you know, make certain promises to the Lord. Perhaps that he will never go the opposite direction again if the Lord commands him to do something. And he says, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of Jehovah. Only in the true God Only in Jehovah God is there salvation, because he is the one who sent his son to pay the price for our sins, and then to rise again, to grant to us salvation, forgiveness, and life. So salvation is of the Lord. The Lord purposed it, he planned it, he carried it out, sending Jesus to suffer and to die for our sins and to rise again. And then we read that the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And so after Jonah's in the belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights, God speaks to the fish and the fish vomits out Jonah upon the dry land. And, you know, we don't know exactly, you know, how that occurred. Jonah may have been quite a mess when he came out of the fish's belly. We don't know those details. Maybe even heard some say, you know, maybe it was, you know, since it says he was vomited out on dry land and he was in the belly of a fish, you know, it may have been a little bit of a projection as far as the vomit in order to get him to dry land. But again, you know, we don't know. In other words, the fish at least came up shallow enough to vomit him out, and then Jonah made it to dry land in that way. There's so much that we can talk about here, and I just think of the many times when the Lord would direct us to, you know, go to certain people and tell them about him, or to call upon people to repent, or, you know, to do a certain task, and how quick we are sometimes to say no and even go the other way. And I invite you to think about, you know, those things that maybe God has placed on your heart to do, or things that, you know, you feel directed in ways that you should serve him, and consider whether you have ever done like Jonah and gone the other way and tried to avoid doing what God would have you do. And we'll close there, and we'll take up chapters 3 and 4 in our next lesson. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy to us, that you have revealed to us not only our sinfulness, but you have revealed to us that you have sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to fulfill all righteousness, and then to suffer and to die and to make atonement for our sins, that we might look to him and have forgiveness and life. We realize that many times we are like Jonah, that you would have us go one way and we flee another because the way that you command us does not look pleasant to us, or the people that we are to speak to are not our people and may even be enemies of your people. We pray that we would love others as you have loved them and shown mercy to them. We pray that we would remember that Christ died not just for us, but for all people, and that we would bear witness to the truth wherever you send us, and that we would do all that you command us to do. We ask your blessing upon us, your care, your protection. In Jesus' name, amen. You all have a good night.